Let's look here tonight in the Word of God. I just got a few things tonight. It's a simple message, but it's in my heart. Now, the birth of Jesus, this is verse 18, Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. I hear some people say privily or privately. Which is correct? Does anybody know for sure? Okay. Privily or privately then. Amen. Privily is the way it sounds good anyway. In verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. In verse 1 of chapter 2, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Let's pray just a moment. Lord, we thank you tonight for the privilege to open the Bible and to read the words of the living God. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight that there's a group of people here tonight that love you. And Lord, they don't want to leave you out. Lord, we want to include you in everything we do. But especially, Lord, this time of year, a time that we've set aside. We don't know exactly when you were born, Lord, but we know you were born. Lord, we know why you were born. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you've helped us to understand those truths tonight. Now, I pray, Father, tonight that you'll just bless your word as it goes forth. Help us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to call this tonight. I think it was Sunday morning, Brother Richard asked me what I wanted to name that message. I said, I don't know, hadn't thought about it. Amen. So we just put the scripture reference on it. Amen. But anyway, where this message was birthed in my heart is I was thinking about a question, and I don't think it's as common among men as it is women. Now, I might be wrong about that, and I'm not trying to get myself in a hole here. But I hear women a lot ask one another this question: are you ready for Christmas? How many's ever heard? How many agrees with me? That's more common for ladies to ask ladies that: are you ready for Christmas? And one of the reasons I think it's more common for ladies is the burden falls on them to get ready. They got to get the cooking ready and get the gifts ready. And us men, you know, we got one usually. How many's with me right there that we're going to get four? Amen. Our precious wife, our wife takes care of the children and the grandchildren. And now this year, I actually got my grandson's name. And if you'd have told me there'd ever be a day in my life that I'd spend $100 on a Nerf gun, I'd have told you you're crazy. And I hope and pray my grandson don't hear this message on the internet or something like that. Amen. He'll know exactly what he's getting for Christmas. Amen. But anyway, I asked his dad, I said, what does he want? And he told me, and he said, his mama won't get it for him. I said, don't worry about it, I will. Amen. You say, preacher, have you lost your mind? I think.
I think grandparents have a way of doing that, don't they, Brother David, of losing their cotton picking mind. Amen. But anyway, tonight I want to talk to you out of the Bible a little bit about getting ready for Christmas and being ready for Christmas. There's three things here that I think we can focus on tonight that's in my heart. Three little words. The first word is the word while in verse number 20. And then verse 21 through verse number 25, the word's not there, but I use the word why. And then in verse number 1 of chapter number 2, the word when. While, and then why, and then when, I believe will help us to get ready for Christmas. Let's think about Joseph for just a minute. He's hardly ever mentioned when you think about it, amen. But he must have been quite a fella. You say, preacher, I don't understand why you would say that about him. Well, he wasn't going to make his wife or his spouse wife a public example. He was going to do it in the shadow. He couldn't go on. Amen. He knew that what had happened was wrong, and what had happened, at least in his mind, he only knew of one way for a woman to get pregnant. Amen. And that was to be with a man. And so he's quite a man. And while, you think about while, what must have been going on in his heart while all of this was going on. The Bible said, and while he thought on these things, I don't know about you, but I believe his heart was broken. I believe, listen, didn't the Bible say of Mary that she was highly favored among women? Doesn't the Word of God teach us that she had a reputation that was spotless? And so don't you reckon that Joseph looked on her much like the Lord looked on her? And don't you reckon there was a great deal of maybe confusion and disappointment in his heart and in his life? And I'll say this to you. That confusion and disappointment is going to rob a lot of people of Christmas. They're going to get their eyes off of what the truth really is, and they're going to be distracted by those things that are going on around them. The while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now wait just a minute. How many believes that brought some relief? That brought some relief, and let me ask you this. What God has told Joseph, he hasn't told the rest of the world yet. So now he's having to deal, you understand what I mean, with others. And so I just want to stop and say that the while is important. Go with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 2 and verse number 19. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 19, there's a lot of things going to here, but I just want you to see the while, not only on Joseph's part, but also on Mary's part. A lot of people, they forget the while. They forget to live in the moment, to be thoughtful, to be thankful. And the Word of God said in verse number 27 of Luke chapter number 1, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. And by the way, a lot of the modern interpretations, they'll say to a young woman. I believe the King James Bible is accurate. And I believe there's a difference. Amen. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what a salutation this should be. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.
He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now go over to chapter 2 and verse 19. Well, let me go back to verse 14. Glory to God. There's a multitude, a heavenly host. They're saying glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord, hallelujah, I've got shouted today when I read that, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Aren't you glad we're not in the dark? He's made some things known unto us. And in getting ready for Christmas, we ought to be thinking about those things and thanking God that, listen, we're not blind like we used to be in our sin. But he's made some things known unto us as well. Now watch. And they came with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. That's what we're trying to do around here. It's just make known abroad that he's made known unto us. Just make it known abroad. That's what our missions program's about. That's what our visitation's about. That's what our children's program, our band ministry. That's what the youth ministry. That's what Sunday school is all about. It's just trying to make known abroad those things that he's made known unto us. There was enough truth portrayed in that place Sunday night to save the world. Amen? A lot of seed was sown Sunday morning and Sunday night because God's people were willing to invite others and pray and work together. What I'm getting at is down here just a little bit further. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I was talking about Joseph, and the while he thought on these things, and the Bible said in verse 20, or verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Can I tell you what I believe the world's trying to do? Is snatch the things that God wants us to keep. To pollute the things that God wants us to ponder upon, amen, and just steal the very meaning of what we're trying to accomplish in celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, if we've got that while down, Charity went to the doctor there Monday, and Elizabeth came over, and I just made a conscious decision to stay there at the house because a little girl by the name of Olivia was going to be there till about 2 o'clock when she started to go home. And one of the reasons grandparents are the way they are, when we was raising our children, many times we were too busy to live in the moment. Am I right or am I wrong? Not always. Some parents are wiser than I was. But we're trying to beat out a living and we're working and we're going at 100 mile an hour break speed. But aren't you glad the longer we live, the more we just want to cherish the moment. That's not just with our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, but I cherish the moments with God's people as well. While, the word while, living, pondering, thinking. Then the word why. Boy, there's a lot of preaching right here, but I'm going to give it to you real quick tonight. Why? I would dare say that multitudes, even in the Bible Belt where we live, really don't know the why of Christmas. They have no idea. There are several things here that the Lord spoke to my heart about. The Bible said in verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The first in the why is the word forgiveness. He's going to come. Our sins are going to be placed in his body. He's going to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's a song that I heard years ago. It's a beautiful song. "Born to die, a cruel cross to bear. Born to die, that I his love may share. Born to die, his precious life to give. Born to die, that I might live." Jesus said, "For this cause came I into the world." He didn't come not knowing what was going to happen. He came willingly, knowing exactly what the mission was. Forgiveness. The why of getting ready for Christmas is forgiveness. The Bible said in verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying." The second word the Lord showed me in this right here, the why, is fulfillment. God had said, Brother Gary, you mentioned it last night, 700 plus years prior, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." You say, "Preacher, you said God said it." I thought Isaiah said it. I said God said it. Isaiah recorded it. I'm not taking anything away from Isaiah. The word of God said, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Ain't no man got that in them to know what's going to happen 700 years down the road. But God had shown Isaiah exactly how it was going to be. Fulfillment. Brother Anthony, I think about that song you do on Abraham, brother. I wouldn't care if you sung it every Sunday. It's just the truth. I love it. I love that song about Abraham. But Brother Anthony gets down to the end of that song and says he's done everything that he said he would do. But come back and get me, and he'll do that too. You say, why? Because Brother Ralph, just as sure as he fulfilled his promise in the birth of the Son of God, he will fulfill his promise in the coming of the Son of God for the church. He's done everything he said he would do. But come back and get me. And he'll do that too. Years ago, I heard someone say, "Well, God said it. I believe it, and that settles it." And that sounded real good to me. And I heard a preacher preach, and he said, "Let me tell you something about that." He said, "It's not exactly right." He said, "God said it, and that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, amen, what God said is settled." The Word of God said forever in heaven. So getting ready for Christmas, there's the why, there's the why. The why would entail forgiveness. The why would entail fulfillment. In verse 23, said, "A virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. What about that? Boy, but them Pharisees had a time with that, didn't they? They didn't like Jesus saying, "I am." They didn't like Jesus saying, "I and my Father are one."
They must not have liked John chapter 1, verse 1 either. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh. That's what we're reading about. And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Not only in the why is there forgiveness, and not only in the why is there fulfillment, but here's the real outcome of forgiveness and fulfillment. That's fellowship. Now God can walk with us. You see, without the blood of Jesus, He couldn't do that. Amen? Now He can walk with us. Now He can talk with us. Now He can fellowship with us. And the Word of God said, in the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I like to kind of use things that are common, and I'm hoping that, well, wouldn't it be good if one of you ladies had an opportunity, maybe at work or in your neighborhood or down there where you shop. Somebody says, are you ready for Christmas? You just had a New Testament. Said, I don't know. Let me see. Just turn over there in the Bible and look at this and say, well, let's look at why. The why of Christmas. Forgiveness, fulfillment, fellowship. How many realize this? Now listen to me carefully. I'm not saying this to be mean, but it's just the truth. Many of God's people will miss the why. They'll be going so fast. Brother Brad, they'll be so overcharged. By the way, I don't know why this just came to my mind, but they'll be overcharged another way too. They'll be out there spending money they don't have to impress people they don't like with things they don't need. Huh? And then after Christmas, it'd be like sticking a pin in a balloon and people be depressed when they ought to be so happy. Boy, I just had a thought, Brother Earl. This is our first Christmas without Sister Pauline, but it's her first Christmas in heaven. Yeah. Our first Christmas without Brother Fred, but his first Christmas in heaven. What about that? Amen. Our first Christmas without Brother Charlie Johnson, but his first Christmas in heaven. Brother Eddie already had one, didn't he, Sister Ellen? It'd be his second Christmas. Am I right about that, honey? I lose track of time. I hope I am. It'd be his second Christmas in heaven. Then the last thing tonight, the when. The Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter number 2, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. I said a while ago, I think maybe when I was praying, that we don't know exactly when the Lord came into this world. But we do know there was a when. We do know that He came. I thought of this verse of Scripture. Turn to Galatians chapter 4 just a moment. Galatians chapter number 4. In verse number 4, the Bible said, but when, there it is again, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law,
that they might receive the adoption of sons. Because you're sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How many's glad there was a win? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 25. Let's turn there for just a moment and I'll close. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 25. There's a couple of wins pictured here. Hebrews chapter 9. Let me read verse 24 as well. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, watch this now, I've never seen this before, hath he appeared. Wait a minute now. Jesus is coming on the scene in Matthew and Luke. He's appearing. Now when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And God is calling that the end. No wonder Paul wrote the way that he did about the end times. Paul was living in the first century and he was talking about it being the end times. I think we need to magnify that truth tonight, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. A couple days ago, Jesus come. And it ain't going to be long and he's coming again. Watch what the Bible said. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear. Glory to God, the second time he appeared, the first time, and he will appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. You say, preacher, I thought you was already saved. Well, I am. But the best way I know to tell you is that there's a salvation that's past. I've been saved by the grace of God. There's a salvation that's present. I'm being saved. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. I'm being saved from the power of sin. But when he appears, I will be saved from the very presence of sin. That's a salvation worth waiting on. Amen. Say. So tonight, we think for just a moment about getting ready for Christmas. I think you would agree with me that when that question is often, most of the time, these truths are the furthest things from people's minds. What they mean normally is, do you have your bacon done? Do you have your candy done? Is your tree and your decorations put up? Have you bought all your gifts? How many's with me? And I'm trying to encourage us tonight. I told my wife the other day, our tree got put up before Thanksgiving. I said, what's going on, Miss E? She said, Elizabeth's wanting to take pictures. I said, oh, I knew something was going on. Because Miss Eve, it's normally the week before Christmas. She's usually out of school for the Christmas break. And we're putting up the tree. They're putting up the tree. Let me tell it factually. But Elizabeth was making some family pictures and pictures of the baby and different things and wanted to get the tree up.
But if we're not real careful, we'll let all those things that the world's thinking about, what it takes to get ready for Christmas,